What is up, everyone? Welcome to Friday Night, and you know that means it's time for Indie Alley, independent comics and independent wrestling. And I can tell you guys, I am jonesing on the wrestling right now. I keep getting updates. So much is going on. It's SummerSlam weekend. But first, we have to talk about comics. Fred, are you excited for the comics? Or are you excited for the wrestling?
I'm excited for both. I'm not jonesing for anything, like we said last week. I see what you did there. I'm glad to be...
It's called a callback. In the business, they call it a callback.
Yeah. I'm excited just to, like, talk this stuff because, as you know, if you're following us on Twitter, we're on vacation right now, but there's no vacation for Indie Alley, so here we are.
No. Especially, with so much wrestling going on.
Right.
And some great comics. We have two new comics. Well, actually, three new comics. And the finale of one that we really enjoy by one of our favorite writers, Brian Edward Hill. So I think we're going to have a good time. Plus, Fred came across another Kickstarter for us to feature. So get ready for basically five comics, I guess. We're going to...
Yeah.
It's a big bonus show, kind of.
Yeah, well, the Kickstarter, what, releases next week, right?
Let's see. I have the info right here. The Kickstarter starts on August 11th, and I have the info where people can go to download part one for free.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I said free.
Boom.
Free comics are always good. So, but we'll get to that towards the end. But let's start with this week's comics. We're going to go with comic number one, Knights of Temporal. When Auguste de Rivery, I hope my French is good, returned from the Crusades, he was ashamed and horrified by the things he had done. Hoping to reclaim his soul, he pledged to root out evil wherever it might be found. But when he pursued a vile sorcerer into the Forbidden Forest, his life was shattered. Auguste ventured into the dark forest, but emerged in the modern world, accompanied by an enigmatic Jane Fool. Auguste hunts a madman while trying to piece together the mystery of his very existence. Written by Cullen Bunn. Art and cover by Fran Galan. Lettered by David Sharp. Published by Aftershock, Knights of Temporal.
This book right here kind of caught me off guard. At the beginning, I wasn't sure what was going on. And then I went back and read the solicit like Andrew just read for you guys. And then I became interested more because I've seen like Augusta like going after the sorcerer, you see the chase, and then he goes through this dark forest, and then it just flips to modern times and he continues his chase. Like what I really enjoy in this book, I mean, big ups to Colin Bunn, he does really good writing. Of course he does the next book that we're going to talk about too. But I really enjoy the art in this book, especially the color palettes with the darker tones in the beginning with the medieval times. But then it gets brighter, the color palettes for modern times with, you know, the browns, the reds, a lot brighter looking. I like this book. How do you feel about it, Andrew?
I really like this book. Kind of has that little bit of historical fiction feel,
mm-hmm.
You know, that this is really based on knights from that era. But then what threw me for a loop was it going into modern times. I didn't read the solicit before I read it. So all of a sudden coming out of the forest in their modern times, I was like, whoa, okay, wasn't expecting that. That's kind of cool. I agree with you. The art is fantastic. It's my style of art, I would say. I like that caricature feel where the exaggerated faces, lots of color. Yeah. It's fun, which fits because the one character, Jane Fool, is like a Harley Quinn type character. Every funny, wacky girl is always going to be compared to Harley. And she does have a Harley feel. She's sneaky. She's conniving. She does something at the end. And she's kind of, you know, a little bit of wacky. Yeah, I really liked it. It wasn't what I was expecting. I was expecting something more along the lines of maybe a Clan Killers that was going to be a little darker. And this seems to be it's going to be a little bit more fun.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point to make because, you know, I don't really get a lot of, like, comical stuff from Cullen Bunn, so this is a change of pace for his writing for me, and that is, but, mm-hmm. I want to go back to the art, like you said about the facial expressions. I'm a big facial expression guy, so this book has some really good facial expressions, especially, like, people looking at Augusta, like, what the hell? Things like there's some things hit really nice, but I definitely say check out this book. It's Aftershock book. Aftershock's been putting out a lot of good books lately. Yeah, if you're into medieval times and you're going to the Renaissance Festival pretty soon, because I know it's getting close to that time of the year, you might want to pick this one up.
Yeah, like I said, really good looking book, really colorful. Not exactly, but it reminds me a little bit of maybe Bitter Roots, the color palette and the style of some of the drawing. Yeah,
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, that definitely.
definitely. I have not heard of Frank Galan before today. This was the first comic I think I've read from him, so I don't know his background, but I'm really looking forward to it. And he does everything. I think he may, let's see, he does the coloring, he does, yeah, he's doing the art, the cover, and the coloring. So he's a well-rounded artist. All right, let's move on to our next book of the day. Manor Black Number One. From the creators of Harrow County and The Sixth Gun comes the gothic horror fantasy about a family of sorcerers in crisis. Roman Black is the moribund patriarch of a family of powerful sorcerers. As his wicked and corrupt children fight over who will take the reins of Manor Black and become representative of the black arts, Roman adopts a young mage whom he gifts his powers to, with the hope that someone good will take his place against the evil forces out to bring down his family and legacy. Written by Cullen Bunn and Brian Hurt. Art and cover by Tyler Crook. And I'm thinking he may have done the letters because no letterist was credited. Variant cover by Dan Brereton, excuse me, published by Dark Horse, Manor Black.
Okay, I like this book a lot more than the last book, that's for sure. This is more up my alley. Because it's Tyler Crook and Cullen Bunn, they work together on Harrow County together, and that's one of my favorite books. And not only that, Brian Hurt worked with him on the book The Damned, which was really good as well. But this book, I'm not sure if it's necessarily a horror book yet or if it's just a gothic book. Because I get the feel of the gothic side of it. What do you think about that, Andrew? Do you think it's a horror or?
I don't know yet. That's why I like the other book better. I think I really understood the other book faster, quicker. I don't know. I just got it. This one, I don't know. It's like, okay, you feel a little bit of cold spots. I feel a little bit, okay, the magic family coming off of the magic order, Mark Millar. I'm like, okay, a lot of these themes I've read before, but I don't know how it all comes together. And the focus was on the sheriffs and what happened to the sheriff. And I don't know, that really took away. Like, that solicit made it sound like the book was more about the family than it was. Because I think a lot of the book is spent dealing with these sheriffs that discover a grisly car accident and what may have caused it. So I don't know. I would give this an undecided, I guess, if I had to like say, what do you think of this book? I would say, I don't know yet.
I will say though, at the beginning of the book, we get like it's a fast-paced scene where it's the I think the character's name's what did I say her name was? Is it Taya?
I believe so. It doesn't have her name listed in the solicit.
It's oh, it's Tay and Ari. Ari is the girl.
Okay.
And we get some introduction with them. We also meet Roman Black's two sons, Basil and Reggie, but he doesn't like to be called Reggie. He lets that be known in this book. And I'm not sure what to think about the family around the table when he goes down to the basement because it's all creepy and stuff. And it makes me feel like that Disney ride. What's that Disney house where you go and they have,
House of the Haunted House or Haunted Mansion?
yeah, the Haunted Mansion. It has that feel, doesn't it?
Yeah, if you're saying Disney, it made me think of something else. It made me think of Mulan when the dad goes to the family thing and talks to all the ghosts in Mulan. Like all the ancient, they're all in there, and that's what I kind of thought of. It's like, okay, is he talking to the ghosts of his ancient ancestors, or is he talking to just mummies and he's insane? I see. I didn't couldn't even get that until much later in the book that they were sorcerers.
I think that like the police or the sheriff and his, I think it's Harvey and Gary, kind of stole the show in this book because it gave you like a, I don't know, Fargo, Twin Peaks feel. With their dialogue, like they, it's that's the type of stuff you would get on that show. I really think that this issue was like a good introduction. I was kind of okay in the beginning where there was the chase scene in the van and the character was standing there. I swear to God, I thought that was Groot. I was like, "What?"
Wow.
I was like, "Did Marvel give
The way he was
Colin?"
drawn?
Yeah, because
Yeah.
doesn't he look like Groot a little bit?
I'm looking back to see. I see what you mean. Yeah, maybe.
I mean, how many people made it? He's a tree, right? Is that what you get from him?
Yeah. Groot is a tree. You
No,
mean this guy?
yeah, this character, like, I think he's at the end
You mean
too.
that he's wearing a mask,
Is that
I believe.
okay?
The
Yeah,
guy.
at the end where it says next issue on sale, it shows in it he's kind of mummified, but in the
Yeah.
beginning he looked like a tree guy or something. I
Like
don't
a
know.
tree.
But there is one part that kind of weirded me out. Did you see the panel with the hourglass and it's like dripping in blood and they kind of get that Young and the Restless feel, like it's like sands through the hourglass. These are the
But his
days of our
blood, yeah.
lives.
Uh-huh. And my assumption is when the blood is gone, he dies, possibly. Like that's the end of the old man who's deciding who to give the family to.
Yeah, that makes sense right there because he keeps like searching and searching to find who's gonna.
And he's running out of time.
But for the art in this book, I really enjoy the watercolors Tyler Crook does, and he brought it last, the last title, Harold Connolly. So this is very similar, and I thought like the art kind of steals the show of this book too a little bit.
Oh, yeah. He basically uses four colors in this book. And so a panel could be something like completely cool gray with just a little bit of yellow to show a headlight, or a little bit of red to show some blood, or just, but for the most part, it's a wash of one color. And it's really, striking. And it sets a tone, especially that, when the ones you hit the all red ones. It really sets that scary tone of a horror, creepy book. And then you have people in shadows, and you have people just with one color, different shades of this one color. Yeah, the art is outstanding. That definitely hits you. That's why, to me, it is a horror book because of that. That alone freaks me out and creeps me out.
Well, and then we kind of get an idea in this book, like who is it, Ari, the girl that he saves at the end, Roman saves. It kind of gives us the hint that she's going to be a successor. But I have a question about her in the beginning of the book, the first few panels. It said something about using the totem. I'm wondering, like, does she already have magic too? Because it seems like Roman Black has some magic. And I'm wondering what the totem is. Because this book has a lot of mysteries to me, it seems
Yeah, I couldn't give you the answer to that. There's
like.
still a lot of I even feel like it's a little rushed. I mean, how does he know already that she's a sorcerer? I mean, she just seems like a random kid, but I guess maybe he's seen it in his prophecies and everything. So there's a little bit of off-panel assumption, I guess, as you're supposed to take that maybe will be
Right,
built up
and
later.
maybe it's forced because it's only a 4-issue miniseries, so
Really? I
yes.
don't see how they can get this in four. Wow,
Yeah.
only four?
It's gonna be very fast paced, it looks like.
Oh, yeah, well, I expect it to be like this the whole way through. Yeah. Wow. Four. You can't, can you tell a story in comics in four anymore? I
I
don't
don't know.
know.
We're gonna see it get done though.
Yeah, I guess so. Wow, I did not know that. Interesting. Well, that changes my the way I view this comic. I expect it to stay this fast then. It has to. Interesting. But yeah, it's a great looking book. Like I said, the art alone. Some other things he's done, if you didn't know his work with Cullen Bunn, he's worked a lot on Hellboy books. Regular Hellboy, some of the. I think he did the Abe Sapien book. So he's done a lot of that. That also has that dark painting feel when you read Hellboy. So gives you an idea. If you like that kind of look. If nothing else, like Fred said, it's four books. Give it a shot. Try it out. It's Dark Horse. It should be easy to find.
Go buy it.
Yeah. So that's two Cullen Bunn books this week. And did you know what? I think technically he had three because didn't he have Punk Mambo this week too? I may be mixing my
Yes,
weeks up.
he did. He released Punk Mambo this week, and what was it, like two weeks ago he did Unearth, or 3 weeks ago? Within.
Yeah, that's right. Unearthed was three. I knew we had done something else by him, but I
Yeah.
can't remember what. The weeks are blending together. But all right, well, let's move on to the next one. Let's see. Next book on the list is Killers Number One. Five deadly assassins are recruited into a game of cat and mouse by the mysterious Jonin. But what does the Jonin want from them? And what do they gain out of helping him? Each of these assassins can channel their ki in different ways, granting them incredible abilities. I don't really like that solicit. Written by B. Clay Moore, art by Fernando DiGiano, colored by Jose Villarrubia, lettered by Jeff Powell. Cover A is John Boy Myers. You have a ver many variant covers, again, Valiant. Diego Bernard with Jose Villarrubio, Ken Lashley with Ulysses Arreola, and Wills Portacio with Raymond Lee, published by Valiant Killers.
Okay, right from the beginning. Well, let me restart this over. If you like action movies, say Jackie Brown or James Bond, then this is right up your alley because you get two characters that are very similar to those people in this book. This book is action-packed from the beginning, and what I mean by that is at the beginning of the book, this former operative is attacked in the kitchen of her home. And she seems to lose. And that's where I kind of got hooked. Because I never really read any killers. I've read like Ninjak, but that's as far as my universe,
I
for
don't
these.
think there is any other killers,
Okay.
to be honest.
Yeah, so that's like the only like character that's like that I've ever read. So this to me was an interesting concept, and I'm definitely all in for this, especially because the art, the storytelling, we're kind of learning about the, is it the MI6 ninjas? Is that what they're
Yeah,
called?
the ninja program.
Yeah, we learn a lot about them, but we also are learning, they're chasing whoever did this to the operative. It has a really action movie feel. I kind of going back to that, but that's what it, I'm kind of on a high right now with John Wick. I just watched Hobbs and Shaw. Yes, I watched it, even though everyone says it sucks. I'm still watching it, but and the art of this is like the art. You kind of the feel. You can kind of feel like the character's raw emotions through this book, and then I think it's extremely well done, and then it's expected. If you read anything Valiant, the art always kills it. How do you feel about this book, Andrew?
This book is awesome. I'm going to give you a little bit of Valiant background on it. This character was actually introduced in this last run of Ninjak. Or Ninja J, actually, not Ninjak, Ninja J. And in this last run, that's where they introduced the concept that there's been multiple ninjas, and as one replaces another, they get a new letter. And the current one is Ninja J, who we call Ninjak. So this woman is Ninja G. And I guess I believe she's a character from the 60s. But they've gone through training and giving serums, so they don't age the same way normal people do. So she's in our modern times, even though she looks and acts and is from a different era. So that's where you get the Jackie Brown thing. Also, that opening fight made me think Kill Bill. The beginning of Kill Bill, when they fight in the kitchen, it brought that. So it's definitely a spy book. It's definitely about assassins and intrigue and these are decommissioned operatives, and you're never officially decommissioned. You can't retire, so somebody's coming after them to try to take them out, and that's basically the major plot of the story. And we're introduced to two characters, I would say, two major characters. I know even the solicit says five deadly assassins. We didn't see five. But yeah, it's a really cool book. The art's amazing, well written.
Yeah, and it kind of leaves us on a cliffhanger with that last panel.
Ah, yeah.
That I'm really excited to see where that goes at the beginning of the next book.
Now, my one nitpick is at the beginning they kind of kill a character that's from in the original Ninja J series. A little too easy for my liking. And that's just a personal complaint as a Valiant reader and a fan of these characters. Like, oh man, could have you done this another way instead of taking her out? So, but that's me. That's me as like a Valiant person that's read a lot of Valiant. I would have liked a little more respect
Put a
for an
little
existing character.
respect on her name.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, they don't even name her in the book. Don't even get me started.
That's,
See, you're gonna get me started on
oh
a rant.
boy, don't, he's gonna get that soapbox out and start stepping on
Yeah, so we're gonna
it.
move on from that. But yeah, great looking book. Valiant is never gonna let you down in the art department.
No,
Like I
it's,
said, they always look good.
yeah, this is definitely like my book of the week, but this book that we're going to talk about next is right up there with it, for me.
The next book is American Carnage number 9, Identity Law and Purpose Collide, as Richard Wright is forced to choose what he's really willing to risk to stop Wynne and Jennifer Morgan, and whose life he's willing to sacrifice in the process. Written by Brian Edward Hill, art by Leonardo Fernandez, colors by Dean White, lettered by Pat Busseo, cover by Ben Oliver, published by Vertigo. American Carnage, the last issue.
Okay, I have a nitpick about this book before we start. I have a nitpick with DC Comics for shortening Vertigo's run because this was supposed to be a 12-issue run, I believe, and we are on issue 9, so some things feel a little rushed, but
Yeah.
Brian Edward Hill kind of, makes me think that, maybe he changed it to 9, because his writing saved it. I feel like he it did. I kind of wish I got those other 3 issues, but this is a great issue nonetheless. This has been a very powerful series, mirroring some of the issues that our country is facing on a daily on the daily reg. Okay, I have 3 things that kind of surprised me about this book. One, the Obama mask character was a police officer. That kind of caught me off guard. I was like,
That
oh
was a plot line I felt was rushed, but yeah.
yeah. Especially because it happens early in this book. The second thing, I was like, Eric not shooting the Morgan I thought he was going to. That one caught me off guard too. And the third thing is that I did not see the series ending the way that it did in this issue. I was like, oh wow, we got the plot twist right here. That's where, I seen Brian Edward Hill kind of flip the script on us. So yeah, I like this book, and Hill's writing is amazing as always, and he does his normal thing where he gives his artists a chance to tell the story with him just, relying on them to advance it, which was done well, like any other book he does. How do you feel about this book, Andrew?
I agree with a lot of what you said. It did feel rushed, particularly that plot line, what the assassin who wears the Obama mask was meant to do, felt like it happened really fast, and the way that kind of was wrapped up was done a little too fast for me. I felt like that should have been a tougher encounter. The book, even though it is a little surprising how it ended, it fits. It didn't surprise me when it was done. It was like, oh, that all makes sense. If you kind of think back and look at the main character and his arc and the way his arc went, I was like, yeah, he was destined for this to happen this way from the get-go, for him to end that way. And yeah, there was a surprise. Who got shot was not who I expected to get shot. Excellent book. It is political a bit. But I think people can get caught up in that and miss that this is a great story. For example, again, I like to talk about Sons of Anarchy, a show that was a favorite of mine. Second season of Sons of Anarchy, they dealt with some white supremacists. And that didn't make the show necessarily political. They just dealt with some, and they were the bad guys. And in this, the white supremacists are the bad guys. And yeah, it's just it reminded me the way he writes. This could be a TV show, and it would be a damn good TV show. Mm-hmm. And the dialogue was excellent. The dialogue was smart. He obviously did his research. Things felt real. Sometimes they even felt painful to hear as a minority that people think that way. But guess what they do? Good book. Really good book.
Yeah, and one good thing to take away from this book is that the Wynn Morgan, he drops out of the Senate race.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. So if we get anything, Eric saved the world.
But even that was realistic. We didn't get this unrealistic, like, perfect ending with a bow on top. You know what right. I mean? The good guys won, but they didn't really win. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
They're still open for a whole other generation of bad shit, you know, which is, to me, true to life. I like I said, he really did a good job of giving an honest look at this fictional story based in some truth, I guess is the best way to say it.
Yeah, if anything, I just want to blame DC for ruining the series. I just did it again, didn't I?
That's okay. Yeah, because I was sad. When I thought about when it was over, you know, you're sad when a series ends because the series ends. But I even thought more of like, this is one more Vertigo book done. And we are months away before we are not going to see the Vertigo label on anything. As each one of these keeps coming to an end, we're going to see it pretty soon. We're not going to see that Vertigo logo on anything. So it kind of was a moment, even more than just this comic ending. It was a Vertigo title ending, you know? So what a bummer.
Yeah.
But good stuff. I recommend it. I would look for it in trade. I think this would be a great read in trade, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a great story. If you can deal with like the tough issues that it deals with and stuff, and you can handle that in your comic books, then I'd definitely recommend it. Hell, I recommend reading anything Brian Edward Hill writes, so go for it.
Yeah, he's definitely one of my favorite writers right now. There's no doubt about it. I seek out his books because I rarely get let down. So, all right, well, last of all, we're going to go over a Kickstarter that Fred discovered. I don't know. Give me the backstory on this. Did you just meet the guy? Did he contact you? Did you?
The writer contacted me through my personal Twitter page. And he had asked me if I wanted to just, you know, read his book, let him know what I had thought about it. And then I mentioned that we could talk about it on the podcast. If he gave me a solicit, we could kind of hype it and whatnot. And, this is what we're going to do right here is, hype it.
Yeah.
Beforehand, I just want to tell you that I read the first chapter. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. If you like Ed Brubaker writing, you know, like Criminal, things like that, this is a book for you, for real. Definitely check it out, and I'll let Andrew read the solicit.
Yeah, this is the solicit, the description he gave us. It's called The Grave. That's the name of the book. A 56 Buick coupe, a case full of cash, a custom Colt 1911, and a dead body. That's what he found at the Lonely Desert Motel, and he nearly got killed for it. Now he wants revenge. But with every wound he inflicts, painful truths bleed through for everyone in his path. From the murderous cops he's hunting to the people who care for him most, they'll have to decide if they're victims, survivors, or something worse. After all, that's one more body in the grave he's digging. The Grave is a slice of hard-boiled noir fiction in the mold of Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips, James Lee Brooke, Darwin Cook, and other crime fiction greats. It's written and the art is done by Dave Taylor. He didn't send me if there's a separate letterist or separate colorist or if he also colors his own art, but he is the artist and the writer of his book. It's going to be a 132-page black... Oh, well, of course there's no colorist, dummy. It's a 132-page black and white graphic novel. It's coming to Kickstarter on August 11th. You can get part one free at DF, Taylor.art. We will put this on the description. We will also put it on probably our Street Level Floppies and our Indie Alley Twitter page for people to go check out the first. I've read the first, the part one. It's pretty cool. It definitely is a crime series. It's not PG. There is some violence. There definitely is a little bit of, not vulgar, but it's definitely language. You know what I mean? You get that R for the for the language. But yeah, it's a pretty interesting little book, and I'm curious to see what happens.
Yeah, this definitely, after reading it, once it launches on the 11th, I will be backing this book because I want to support him. The book has been, it's really done well, especially like the Ed Brubaker. That's, you know, without even knowing the solicit, I didn't read the email like Andrew has. And man, that's totally the feel I got, because I just enjoy reading Brubaker books and the crime noir type books. Especially if you give me some kind of gangster stuff in there and mafia style stuff. No, I'm totally into that.
Yeah, you've got some dirty cops.
Yeah.
You got the girl from kind of the wrong side of the tracks working at the diner. You know, all the tropes are there.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. And I definitely suggest that everybody that listens, if you're into Kickstarters, then you definitely should back this, because I'm putting my name on this.
There you go.
I'm backing it. And I suggest that if you're into Brubaker type writing, then you should back this too. And actually, you can sign up for his emails as well. Andrew's given you his handle. He has the emails, and he sends out emails and, you know, giving hints of all his other work. I'm totally into it.
Yeah, and guys, this free part, it was like 30 pages, I think it was. Now I can't remember. I think it was at least 30 pages.
Yeah.
It may have been more. So you get a nice feel for what you're getting. It's not just a page and you kind of like, oh, okay, I don't know if I like that or not. You get, you know, a decent amount of story to really get a feel if this is for you. So I recommend, I mean, it's an opportunity to check something out before you pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, how many other places give you a first full chapter of something?
Yeah.
You get a full chapter, and he sucked me in. He kind of sucked me in earlier than the first full chapter. But yeah, man, it's a great book. Definitely suggest backing it and checking out. Hit him up. Follow him on Twitter.
Well, that's it for comics this week, unless there was one you wanted to talk about. Something else. You haven't read nothing. You've been on vacation.
No, I've been at Colts training camp and other things. We're in beautiful Indianapolis.
There you go. All right. Well, I guess it's time to wrestle, nerds. What's up, donuts? You been enjoying your vacation?
Yeah.
Been able to, like, kick it and be lazy, grow a beard with your dad. Just totally.
Like, his blonde hair is going to turn into a beard? He's the only one with blonde, light hair in this family.
Look at, he's looking. Maybe. So, what's up? Were you able to watch some wrestling? Did he get you the app? Or were you denied?
He didn't get me any app.
Oh, man.
We did the New Japan. We didn't watch Ring of Honor. I started to watch it, but then it seemed like everything was replayed, and I fell asleep watching it.
Ooh, I got a lot to say about that, but I'll wait till we get into it.
I watched the highlights, but, like, I don't remember anything that happened.
Gotcha. Did you guys watch MLW?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll talk about some MLW, some G1. I definitely want to revisit Triple Mania.
We watched that thing, too.
My favorite company. Awesome. Had their biggest pay-per-view.
Yeah, it was good. You have me. I've been a skeptic, but you brought me on board on that one. Definitely. Well, before we get into Triple Mania, which is probably gonna be our favorite, real fast, Ring of Honor. You know what, Fred? You are exactly right. I was listening to a Ring of Honor podcast to kind of get the scoop on this, because I've heard that they are changing their format. And I don't know what the hell they're thinking. So everything that was on the show was a rerun. Everything. What? They are basically showing all their stuff live on the Honor Club. Okay? And then for the actual show, they're going to show segments, backstage segments, and chopped up versions of matches that have already happened. They're not even going to show whole matches. They're going to show chopped up versions. So they're going to chop things up, rearrange them, and just kind of spit them out. And then they were hyping a pay-per-view that already happened when they have a pay-per-view tonight, instead of really hyping that. I don't know what they're doing. I don't.
It's a mess.
I don't see no reason to watch the free stuff. They're forcing you to basically have to pay for the app to watch anything new. And I don't want to pay for the app. It's not good enough. So they may have lost me. And you said something, Fred, that Impact is getting good. You're right. It's frustrating. I should be watching Impact, not Ring of Honor, but Impact doesn't have any TV or anything.
Right. I think I'm definitely going to be watching more Impact, and I think that I will be talking about it more starting tonight. I'll watch some tonight, so we're ready on Thursday when we record next week, a day earlier, so we have some Impact to talk about.
Right.
Well, I wish Impact would put the full matches on YouTube too. Give us the option.
Oh, yeah, because right now they just do highlights of each match, put them out separate.
Put them there. Let us watch them. Since you don't have a good TV, outlet, the Twitch doesn't replay the match. So if I miss it, like, because we're recording our show, then I don't get to watch you. I don't get to talk about you. And I'd like to talk about you. So.
Right. Well, does Impact Plus, do they offer the full matches from
Probably.
Friday?
But I don't think they're. The one
That's
thing is,
another
Impact
$9.99.
Plus doesn't give you anything else bonus. At least Honor Club gives you these pay-per-views.
Right.
And they give you the cross promotions with New Japan as part of being a member. Impact Plus just gives you the shows. It doesn't
Right.
give you anything extra. And so I'm like, okay, with all these other services and all these other promotions, you're not getting my $9.99. You're not giving me enough. So,
Yeah.
but what do you guys think of that about ROH doing that? I mean, I don't understand the thought process.
They're a mess. I don't even think they know what's going on. They're like, here, try to make this good, but then they just like throw stuff around and then they lose all their notes and they're like, oh, well, we'll just use old matches for now.
They have great talent, though.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
Well, and then I did see part of it, and they said this is a reboot. But it's not a reboot if you're showing reruns.
Well, it's a rerun because you guys didn't watch it live on Honor Club.
Right.
You understand? So, but I don't know who you're appealing to because, okay, so I don't say you didn't have Honor Club. You come in and you're lost and they're hyping this match. You're watching, and they literally say, this match is going to happen at Manhattan Mayhem on June 27th. And you're sitting there watching the match on August 4th.
Checking the date and
And
stuff.
you're like, what?
It's Groundhog Day.
Yeah. So I don't know who you're after. It's almost like just don't even do a show for free. Just tell everybody if they want to see your product, get the app.
Yeah, just do pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Just do that. I mean, don't be on weekly. I mean, if that's how it's going to be, that they're going to give us weekly like repeats of things that because we have the Honor Club, then there's no sense of watching it. And I'm more interested in the news of NWA going to TV in what, September, late September or early October?
Yeah.
We were doubting Ring of Honor for like forever, and then they came back with a couple good shows in a row, and then what?
Yeah, and see, that's the other thing. You guys were so excited because last week they had four matches. You guys were
Yeah.
like, this is better. They got 4X. They had like one match this week, and it wasn't even the full match. It was a piece of the match. It was like half of the match. So it's like, okay, you're chopping it up. You're not, this is like old school WWE when they gave us, stuff that was taped a month in advance and we didn't know better because there's no internet or nothing to know.
Well, they made life easier for me because I realized that I'm just going to watch AAA every week
Yeah.
Finally, somebody's watching
and talk
my
about
package.
them.
Yep.
Watch Impact now more. Put them in the rotation, and that's because I'm going to watch Impact more because I don't know if I want to cover NXT anymore because it's too corporate for me, and they're just trying to buy out everything that I love about wrestling. So I'd maybe not give them a platform. They have enough platforms. We need to give these other companies more of a platform.
I feel you, Fred. Today I was all worked
Finally.
up with all that news. First, our buddy Chris, who really isn't a wrestling guy, but we talk about our comics. He sends us that tweet that WWE might be buying Fight. That was like Armageddon to read that first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
I was like, no, they better not be buying Fight. And then you follow up with like this whole news that NXT is going to go to FS1 and go head to head with AEW, and they're going to bring down more talent from the main roster. And I'm like, so it's not NXT anymore. It's basically SmackDown on Wednesdays.
It's a Saturday night main event.
Yeah. I mean, because you're not doing what I like about NXT, that it's
No.
guys that I don't know that are going to, or I kind of know from the indies and see how you're going to package them and prepare them to go up to the main roster. That's what I've always liked about NXT. If you're just bringing down whoever from the main roster to fight them, I kind of like,
So they have a SmackDown after show, which is 205 Live, which has good talent. And then what? Are they going to put it as a Raw after show?
What do you mean, the
Like, you
two oh
know,
five
like
live?
when Raw's packing up to leave, they do like two matches after the show.
I don't know. That's a good question. No, I think it's gonna be a live show. It's gonna be its own live show on Fox for 2 hours instead of one.
It has to be live to compete with AEW.
So it's
Yeah.
gonna be Raw, SmackDown, and NXT Live. Is that what
Yep. All on TV. And it's a technique. You're not in the comic part, but Fred and I know this because Marvel does and DC do that. They like release 1 billion comics so that the like smaller comics don't get seen on the shelves. They get pushed to the way back.
Yeah, they try to like load you up with content. That's WWE's way of competing, is to just mass produce content so you can't go searching anywhere else. But if you're listening to us, you already know that there's better products out there besides them. Not to say that they're not doing a good job, and I still like to watch it occasionally for certain wrestlers, but I really hope that their contracts are over soon so they can actually get themselves over and show the world that they can do more than what Vinnie Mac likes to do.
Yeah, I agree. I got in. I had a Twitter conversation, and our buddy Five Meats responded to me because someone put, "Who's the better faction, the Elite or Undisputed Era?" And the girl said,
Oh.
"Hands down, Undisputed Era." And I kind of agree. Undisputed Era is a good faction, but I
Yeah, they
said,
are.
"Talk to me 6 months after Undisputed Era has been on Raw." And then, Five Meats said, "Well, that's not fair." And I go, "But I'm just saying, Adam Cole's a star, but I don't see Adam Cole ever having success under Vinnie Mac. I don't.
It, but
Once he leaves
the
NXT,
duo, the duo of Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly would be great again. Oh, that sounds weird. Because they used to be amazing in the indies, and they would sit the bench like everybody else.
I bet you the only one that comes out of the four that has a chance to be any kind of star is O'Reilly. O'Reilly has the body type that Vince would like, and he's
I
funny.
don't know.
But they might overbook him in the comedy stuff. But I think Fish and Cole are doomed for being small. And
Well,
Roderick Strong is boring.
everyone in WWE is doomed because it's so saturated. They have like so many people that, I mean, do we see the Viking experience anymore? Do we see any
Don't
of
say
these guys, the War
experience.
Machine?
Yeah.
There you go.
And like, we all know that they're probably like one of the top three tag teams that they have in the company, and they're nothing.
Who are they using now? Who's their tag team? Are they using.
I don't
You know,
know. I
as of
don't
right
watch any.
now, I know we're
They're
going off
using
on a
the bar?
WWE tangent, but as of right now, there is not a tag team match scheduled for SummerSlam. Not one.
Not even the bar?
Not nothing. There's not even one of
The
those
bar
mixed
doesn't
tag
wrestle
teams.
no more.
Yeah, they do. Yes, they do.
Sheamus hasn't wrestled in like 4 months. When was the last time you watched WWE?
Yeah,
WrestleMania.
you didn't miss anything. But yeah, there's nothing scheduled. Nothing with a tag team. No women's tag teams, no championships, nothing. There's nothing scheduled. So they don't care. I even think they're doing it on purpose to kind of say tag teams don't matter because they know AEW is going to have like the best tag team division in
wrestling. Thought you just said the other day that they were competing for best tag team division.
I thought they were. They have people, but now they just decided if you have SummerSlam, your second most important pay-per-view, and you don't have a tag team match, that kind of says it all, doesn't it?
They'd rather book Trish Stratus and Goldberg again.
Yeah. What?
Because that's good shit.
That's good shit. Good shit. All right, well, let's get off our WWE rant. But okay. Yeah, I'm with you, Fred. And I like NXT. There's so much great wrestlers there, but I hope they go elsewhere. Mm-hmm. I want more. I guess this week, G1 is still awesome. We're going to get into G1 right now. G1 has just been awesome. It kind of is an overload, and you got to take a break. But G1 is awesome. And AAA just blew my doors this last weekend. It's not just the indies. It's other countries. They're coming. They're charging.
Mexico and Japan.
Yep. They're charging. Not messing around.
But like I said the week before, those are their WWEs in those countries. So they have no competition until they look at other countries.
AAA has competition. Some people would say that the CMLL is.
They work together.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought they were in direct
competition. They used to be like. Oh, they the used... same company, but split apart because of ownership. Mm-hmm. So some guys get upset when they leave. Just like Japan, they get upset if they leave to go to the U.S. or to go to, like, NOAH. But, yeah, and either way, like, both companies are great companies. I just want to give those companies more exposure if we even get into, like, Stardom.
Yeah.
Things like that. Or, I mean, there's so many other organizations that are worthy of our time than the corporate.
Yeah, it's the same attitude we have with the comics. We got disillusioned with some of what Marvel and DC was doing. So instead of complaining all the time about them, we went out and looked for alternatives. And it's the same thing to do with the wrestling. So we're going to recommend great wrestling that's done in other places. So... Why don't we jump right into G1 then?
G1?
I have not seen them all, but it's okay. I give up. I'm just going to go on. Tonight I'm going to watch where we're at live because I'm never going to catch up. It's just so much wrestling. But you guys, does anyone have the standings in front of them? Because there's been some crazy results.
I do. There's in Black A, there's only two guys that are still in it.
Could you please say them for everybody here?
It's Okada.
Obviously.
He has 14 points, and Ibushi has 12 points.
Yes, right. Thank you. Who picked Ibushi? Who?
Where's Juice Robinson? He's on B Block.
Well, don't worry about Juice. He's got juiced. And then on the B Block, there's four guys that are still in it. It's Moxley.
Obviously.
Naito. Goto. And White.
White.
The goal is crazy.
All tied at 10 points. They face each other on Sunday. It's going to come down to that main event on Sunday, which is White versus Naito to advance.
Yeah, I think that's right. But, like, what I want to see for the A versus B, I want to see Naito versus Bushi again. But it probably won't happen.
So you think White versus Ibushi?
Maybe, but I'm trying to, but even if that doesn't happen, like, I'm thinking Okada won't even pick one of them. Like, Okada will beat Ibushi and he'll go on because he's built to be their star, he's their Hulk Hogan, but better wrestler. And then hopefully... I mean, I know he's going to pick somebody else. I don't think that he's going to wrestle Moxley yet. Naito, he doesn't want to face Naito. I don't even know.
Well, he doesn't even have to win Black A to pick. He's the champ.
He can pick, and then they have a match. The Black A and Black B have a match later?
No, Black A and Black B winners still face each other. But at Wrestle Kingdom, he gets to choose. He can choose his opponent,
if he
or
wins.
The guy with the briefcase.
But if Ibushi wins, Block
he gets the
A,
briefcase.
Then Okada doesn't get to do any picking.
Right.
So then it would come down to Ibushi and whoever Ibushi fights. So my understanding is if Naito wins, he needs Moxley to get beat because Moxley has the tiebreaker on Naito.
And Moxley faces Juice, and Juice is he's probably a little upset after the first time.
That's my Juice.
And then, but if White wins, he has the tiebreaker on Moxley. So even if Moxley wins, I think White then only has to worry about Goto. Right?
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of different mixtures.
I'd like to see like Ibushi versus Naito, but I could see Naito versus or Ibushi versus White as well because you kind of need that heel, and he's the only real heel that they have right now.
Naito's a heel.
Naito's not, but he's like a Stone Cold Steve Austin heel. Like people still love him.
Yeah, he's loved. He was loved.
But no one likes Jay White except the chicks.
Yeah.
I like Jay White.
Are you a chick?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, but you're from the States. I bet you people from the States and from England like Jay White, but I don't think they like him as much in Japan. I don't think he's popular.
Yeah.
Well, that's because it's a white dude that's trying to, like, beat everybody and he's a heel.
Yeah, he's just not likable either. He's not like, say, AJ. AJ was likable when he ran the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
Like Moxley. Nobody liked AJ. Moxley and Juice are likable.
Yeah.
Ospreay is likable. Even Zack Sabre, when he's a tryhard, that's what you gamers kids call him.
That's what Greg calls
him. He's a tryhard to act like he's like a heel and upset and stuff, but even he's like, because people like his submissions.
But Archer's a heel. Nobody likes him. Sucks.
All right. You're going off topic.
Real
fast. One thing
What's
I'm happy
Archer
about.
Have to do with it?
Some of the winners in this tournament, Ospreay's a winner. I don't care about records. Every match Ospreay's been in has been awesome.
Wait until the juniors.
I know, but they're making a star. That's what I mean. Sonata. The crowd has been going bonkers. That Sonata Kenta match, I did watch that. The crowd didn't give a rat's about Kenta. They were all in for Sonata. Ibushi, obviously, is coming out smelling like roses.
Takagi.
Yes, that's the one that wears the like, dragon mask, the green mask.
Yeah, Shingo Takagi.
He has looked amazing. They are building superstars that are going to carry the company for the next few years. So props to them. They definitely have done well. MLW real fast. What do you guys think?
I think the Von Erichs proved my point that they're still green. Yeah. They botched a couple things.
Did botch a move bad. Yeah.
But I do like the reveal of the new Contra member.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
Who is finally that?
I don't know. But he's doing some great Muda stuff, so.
Yeah. You said does every Asian dude have to use a green mist?
What?
Yeah, somebody said something mist, like though. That in there. He's like he just, it was like a heel thing to just start it off. He used the green mist, and people see that as like cheating. So,
yeah,
it's a good start for the group. Just join.
Again, like I said, the Von Erichs are not very good yet. But
did you see where he like put the claw on him and then he like let go of it?
Exactly, I'm pointing that out.
I was like, oh wow,
but
okay, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, but I think it was like overall a decent show. It's
low
weird having
match.
Tony Schiavone calling instead of Cornette, isn't it?
Yeah,
that was good. I like his voice. I always say that his voice is makes me feel like I'm watching wrestling. Loki's match sucked. If they were gonna do another knockout, it would have had to look like a knockout. He just kicked him. They didn't even look like a knockout.
But don't tell me, when you saw that guy going out there, you knew that was a squash match. That first guy, when you didn't know who the hell he was, it's like, well, this is going to be over in 2 seconds.
Yeah, well, it looked like the same dude from last time, the little dude in the red.
Okay, it probably was.
But then, if they were going to do it, like, have him walk around the ring, do some grapples, and then hit him with, like, an elbow or a knee, or like he does Ricky Martinez with the clothesline.
Mm-hmm.
But He hit him with his foot. It didn't even look like a knockout. You could just tell. You were like, oh, that's fake.
I was ready for that one to end anyway. I didn't want to see that one extended.
Right. The kill shot match.
You know.
New town for MLW.
What I did like, though, and I have a lot of respect, and I wish other feds would do stuff like that sometimes, is, okay, you had that match happen quick, and then you had the whole miss thing. I like the way they found a way to weave in that old match from the horn site, where all the horns are from, like as an excuse, like, oh my God, we don't know what to do. Everything's in chaos right now, so we're going to show you guys this old match while we try to get everything under control. I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. You were going to show us this match anyway, but I like the way you kind of did it to make it seem like it made sense to show us that match. Mm-hmm. I kind of respected that. That was old school booking. So, yeah, overall, I thought it was a good show.
You seen that that kill shot from Lucha Underground made an appearance? Him versus Gringo Loco?
Yes. I didn't know who that was. Is that who that was?
He's from Lucha Underground, and he was a pretty good wrestler. Mm-hmm. And it was just a match to show off what he had before anything happened. It was like a preview because it was quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gringo Loco's a little fat. I didn't realize how big he was. I was like, whoa. The weight he had on that guy, I was like, whoa.
It is.
Too many tacos.
Gordo Loco.
Gordo Loco, yeah. I agree. Did your dad tell you that all four seasons of Lucha Underground are on this app called Tubi on the Roku? And I just started watching them. I'm on to episode 2 of season 1 right now. Gonna
episode
rewatch.
Two.
Yep, I'm gonna rewatch the whole thing just for fun.
Oh, yep. They have a lot of Pentagon and original Phoenix on there.
Yeah,
and you can see Jeff Cobb.
Yep, I just want to check it out. I kind of like some things about it. I like the production. I like the little vignettes. Their quality. They remind me. AEW definitely stole some ideas from them. There's no doubt about it. So it's kind of cool. All right. Let's see.
Wait. One more thing. There was the. What did you think about the main event?
The Davey Boy match. Oh, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. I made a joke to your dad that Grandpa Stu's up in heaven smiling, and Stu doesn't smile very often, so that must have been, a big deal. Yeah, he must have been happy looking at it. That was your traditional get on the mat, stretch him out, a couple of slams here and there kind of thing. I liked it. I didn't realize how big Davey Boy was, except watching that other guy I thought was big, and then I was like, damn, Davey Boy's big.
Yeah. My dad pointed out, he said, why is he wearing British stuff? He's not even British. His dad was.
Nostalgia. Why are the Von Erichs wearing cowboy hats?
I don't know. They're from Hawaii.
It's the nostalgia. It's what people know. I still believe that Davey Boy's on his way to the top, I think.
Yeah.
That's where he's going. He's going to be done with the tag team stuff. So Pillman will slip into that tag team spot. Wasn't that awkward at the end, that whole sister thing?
Yeah.
That was bad.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, they could do without that.
That was kind of like some Vince McMahon stuff.
Yeah, they could have done without that. So, yeah, there was little things. There's a couple botches, a couple mistakes here and there. I think maybe they're feeling the pressure of trying to keep up and compete with everything going on around them. I mean, right now wrestling is... boom, everybody's making moves, man.
Yeah.
So
Bestia comes back next week.
Nice. I think they have a good roster. It feels like they're doing a recycling of the roster right now too, so like introducing new people because other people are kind of segueing out. So like the La Parkas might be gone, the LA Parks might be gone for a while, who knows. So
speaking of them,
yeah, let's go ahead and segue into Triple Mania. Okay,
here we go.
Were you like in heaven? Were you bouncing on your couch?
I was like, finally, you guys are both watching my favorite company right now. Where do you want to start? Do you want to like not
you
do a couple
start.
Matches?
This is your baby.
All right. We'll start with the not the pre-show match, but the mixed tag match. You seen that one?
Yeah, with the smoke show. Yeah, I saw that one.
You seen Nino Hamburguesa and
Big Mommy.
Yes, I did.
Versus Sammy Guevara and Killer Cross's wife, Scarlet Bordeaux versus Lady Maria and Villano the Third Junior versus Australian Suicide and Vanilla.
I liked that Australian Suicide team. I'd never really seen them as a team, and I actually found them enjoyable.
I was upset because Big Mommy lost.
Big Mommy lost.
I'm a big fan of Big Mommy.
Are you? But they set it up for a singles match. There's going to be like a rematch, it looks like. Or maybe my Spanish wasn't very good. I watched it in Spanish because I accidentally subscribed to the Spanish one a long time ago. And
I don't even think there was an English one for the show.
There is.
We couldn't find it. I was confused about one thing. In the beginning, I didn't know that that was Killer Cross's wife, and I was like, why does it look like Sammy Guevara is flirting with her? I was so confused.
It's part of the show. She was with, who was the guy she was with in the last Wrestle Circus? She was with a guy in Wrestle Circus, and he was flirting with her, too. I can't remember. I think that's just her character.
Mm-hmm.
And then she came out with them later.
Yeah, she didn't come out with them later.
But do we want to do a spoiler on who wins the titles? Is that what we're doing here?
Yeah.
All right, so upset match, the bad guys won. Lady Maria and Villano the Third Jr., because I think there was a little story behind it, which I didn't know was happening, that I guess Hamburguesa was kissing Maria's hand, and Big Mommy was upset.
Oh.
You know?
A little bit of lover's quarrel. Gotcha. Yeah, I didn't know any storylines on that, but I thought the match was a lot of fun. They made some mistakes, but I liked it. It was a good opening match.
The next match. El Hijo del Vikingo, that's one of my favorite guys. He teamed up with the original Sin Cara, Miss Deceased Jr., and Golden Magic versus Pordel del Norte, you know, the guys with the vests, and versus...
What'd you call him, the Mexican...
The Mexican Shield?
Yeah, the Mexican Shield.
And then the Pimpinela Escalade, I don't know how to say that. Max and Maximo and Mamba.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I don't remember that one very much, to be honest.
Yeah, me either. That I one, don't know what I was doing.
There was a lot of jumping around. The first one you said, now I'm forgetting the names, the Viking guy. Did a couple of impressive stuff.
And he always does. That's why he's one of my favorites.
And it was a good match, but it just, there was a lot going on. It was one of those where there's a lot going on. And I didn't know anything. Like, there was no story to it. It just kind of was like spots. So I would say that was probably one of the weaker ones, even though there was a lot of, it was fun. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. And the entrances were cool. Fred, what'd you think of that one?
I don't remember it.
I think you went to go like take a break or something.
I don't know. I think I went outside to check our pool at that time. So I don't remember. I was waiting more so for like the women's match and the later matches to actually watch.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing. We got the next match. You want to go on to the next match? I always look forward to the Battle Royal.
No, we're not going to name every person.
Not going to name every single person that comes in.
Lots of clowns.
I got all the numbers.
Lots of payasos.
They have a thing with clowns.
They definitely have a thing with clowns.
How about you just say who won?
Okay.
And then you can tell what happened after.
There were 15 entrants. Only one person won. Pagano won.
Yeah.
My dad's favorite. There was some beef with Vampiro and Conan.
Yep.
And after the match, L.A. Park and his two sons attacked Pagano and challenged him. And L.A. Park ripped up the trophy.
Yeah, and they challenged him to a hair versus mask.
Yeah,
match, right?
I'm thinking Pagano loses his hair because nobody wants to see LA Park's face.
Yeah, we do.
No.
Didn't they? They came out kind of like crime bosses too, all in the suits.
They do. It looked sweet. Yeah. It was like his two sons just ran in there, beat him up, and he was standing there like a boss.
Yeah, they were a gangster as hell.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. That was a nice ending. And like you said, the little surprises of seeing some of these old school guys, seeing Conan and Vampiro go at it, was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it, but yeah, lots of clowns. It's funny, someone was talking about, do you think Bray Wyatt can wrestle with that mask on? I'm like, they do it in AAA all the time. Get over it. It's not that big a deal.
Psycho Clown does all the time.
Yeah. It's like, he won't be the first. That's for sure.
You see, the fake La Parca was there for the last entrant. Yeah. And then after the match, LA Park, the original, showed up after.
That would have been funny if they would have beat the fake one up.
They just have him run backstage and just drag him out.
Yeah, that'd be good stuff. I also saw some like after footage that they went and they attacked. I don't know if they attacked Wagner. Oh, they attacked Blue Demon, the La Park,
Blue Demon,
the LA Park family, because they are like pro Wagner. So they went after him at the end of the thing too.
Yeah,
it was like the press conference stuff. I saw it on YouTube. So they were like all over the place causing havoc. Good stuff.
Yeah. I didn't even know that was his other son.
I didn't either, yeah.
Okay, the next match, which I didn't see, was the women's ladder match.
Why didn't you see it?
I don't know, took a break. Walked around for a minute.
Oh, you...
Took a bathroom break. I came back and the match was halfway over. Do you not like the ladies'
matches?
It was Lady Shani came out with her daughter, Taya Valkyrie, Tessa Blanchard, Fabi Apache? What is it? Apache versus Kiara, Chica Tormenta, and La Hydra, something like that.
That means like Ivy, right? In Spanish.
Oh yeah, that's they translated it nice.
Okay. And then who was the woman that was on the in the wheelchair that they beat down? Is she the former champ? Did you see that? Oh, you didn't see the match.
Oh, that was, what's her name? That was, I forgot. She won the title at the last pay-per-view, I think.
Okay, and now she's hurt, so they just whooped her up.
Yeah.
In her wheelchair. It's pretty messed up.
Yeah. What'd you guys see? Because I didn't see it. Was it good?
Ooh, I thought it was good. I thought there was a lot of great spots. I don't know if that was a mistake when one girl got pushed off the turnbuckle and she missed the ladder and hit the floor. I think she really got hurt. I think that might have been real. So she was on the top of the turnbuckle and Tessa pushed her and she was supposed to kind of fall back first on the ladder that was set up. She missed the ladder and hit the floor. And those refs looked pretty intense, like, oh, get some one out here. She's really hurt.
So. What do the commentators say when they say danger, danger?
Oh, it's, oh, my God. Oh, I say it all the time when I'm watching
Caligro?
Yeah.
Caligro.
No, it's P, not
P.
Caligro.
What's wrong with your Spanish? You're going in the second year of Spanish and you couldn't.
I don't remember anything.
You're going back to school soon. You better tighten that up.
And Tessa and Taya is always fun to watch. So that was cool that it came down to them. And I like the fact that they still stayed in each other's face even after the fact.
I like that Tessa won. Do you think that they put the belt on her because of Daga?
I think they put the belt on her because they want her to keep coming back. She's money, man. I think, you know,
that's
it's
true.
And then, you know, Taya has all kinds of belts. She already has the Impact belt. So if you put the Impact belt and the AAA belt on her, it's a bit much. But if you have one on each of them, I think that's good booking to have them go at it.
Mm-hmm. Before the match, you seen that they did the memorial for Dr. Wagner's brother, Silver King. Yeah, I like that. I like that all of his family came out and they just took a moment. All right, next match. Psycho Clown, Cody Rhodes, and Cain Velasquez. Surprise, Cain Velasquez. versus Tejano Jr., Taurus, and Killer Cross versus... Oh,
that's it.
Oh, that's it. I wrote the next match too close. Yeah. I saw my dad hinted to me after the match. He said that shows that Cain Velasquez might get signed to AEW.
I could see it.
They have a Brock Lesnar now that can wrestle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did you say? Was it you, Fred, that said they can brag because he beat Lesnar?
Yeah, I think he said that.
Yeah, he's... Man, I want to talk about like his in-ring work. I was totally surprised by it. I mean, he looks a bit out of shape, but he was doing like the Hurricane Ranas and some other moves that was surprising to me that I was like, whoa, I didn't think that the big fella was that nimble until mm-hmm. I seen that. And I was like, oh, wow. Because when I just thought that, you know, Psycho Clown and Cody Rhodes was going to carry the match, but he was featured predominantly the most, yeah. I believe.
He was.
I like the how that, even though how tough Tejano, Taurus, and Killer Cross look, I liked how they were scared to get in the ring with Cain Velasquez.
Well, yeah. he's a certified badass.
I like that. Hey,
even Taurus looks scared. Taurus looks like a monster.
You could see it through his mask?
He was like scared and he just tagged the next guy right away.
Well, yeah, it's Cain Velasquez. He's a legend. He beats people up in the first round, bloodies them.
Yeah. They put him over. That was really cool. A lot of credit to the other team, too. The other team looked good, and they took a lot of bumps, and they made Kane look good. That had a big match feel. I think I texted you that. I just feel like this feels like a big match. This feels like something you see in WrestleMania. You know, there was so much star power and excitement.
And then the end, like, Killer Cross, like, he kind of hinted, like, maybe him and Kane are going to fight again, because he was like talking trash to him and stuff. Yeah, it was cool just to see like Psycho Clown, who's maybe like one of the hottest luchadors in Mexico currently,
mm-hmm.
teamed up with like one of the greatest UFC fighters
and with the VP of AEW.
Yeah, that's kind of like, that's really good. But what's really important to think about is that they have a deal with each other that if you're an AEW fan, you should really jump on to watch every Monday or Sunday on YouTube, AAA, because you're going to see a lot of this talent brought into AEW.
You won't be able to see Triple Mania for a couple of months because I just seen that the last pay-per-view was just added. That was like one or two months ago that we watched live.
You can't see it on Twitch?
No, I don't think you can see it on Twitch, but it just came out on YouTube a month or two later.
Gotcha.
So you would have to wait that long.
Yeah, but you can see the regular weekly stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, and they book really well, because even for like the American viewer, you can still see Impact Wrestling stars there. There's people that you will recognize.
Yeah, I agree. There's just so much talent. I also texted you the PR that Cody did for his company, running around, taking pictures, the three of them all over the place, all around the ring with the fans. I mean, they're going to get all those Mexican fans to tune into AEW, you know, because they're going to run it. I guess there's a Mexican TNT. I wasn't aware of this, that shows in Spanish that are created just for the Mexican audience and stuff like that. And that's the show's going to air on there in Spanish. Whatever it's going to be called. So they've just already made all that goodwill with a whole other country. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's more fans. It's just so smart. I just couldn't believe how smart that was.
The next match was the, I think, fourth or fifth or sixth time rematch of the Lucha Bros and the Elite, but with Kenny and Laredo Kid again. I liked that Laredo Kid had more than he did in Double or Nothing. Was it Double or Nothing? When they had their six-man match?
No, it was Fight for the Fallen.
I liked that he had a better, more wrestling for him. And I don't think Kenny Omega... Remember when we were like, does Kenny Omega style fit in? I don't know. It was still questionable, but it was pretty good for his first time wrestling that style.
I think him and Phoenix are going to tear it up. I just think Kenny's better as a singles guy. And I think when it can just be the two of them, I think they're going to tear it up. I think they're both so fast, they're going to do some incredible things. But yeah, and the magic may be wearing off a little bit for me of watching the Young Bucks and the Lucha Bros. I'm kind of ready for them to fight somebody else. I did feel a little like, okay, seen this before. Yeah. I think it's time. They need to, and we have one more big one. But they might do something crazy in the ladder match. So that's the only reason I'm not completely dismissing it. But it's time for those two to fight other people.
Yeah, because when you did see, I was extremely excited when AEW's pay-per-view where they wrestled the SCU. That was a great match. Mm-hmm. I loved it. It was different. And then I liked when they wrestled Cody and his brother, Dustin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, it was different. That's what they need. They don't need to do the same thing, like you said, every single time.
I mean, I get it. It sells tickets. You know, those four are going to be in the ring together. You're like, well, okay. But I've kind of seen too much of them. But good stuff. I was okay with that. The one thing I told you that I thought was dumb is Kenny Omega said it's like, what did he say? Is AEW is better than AAA? And I'm like, but aren't these guys AEW too? I mean, you're basically saying, I mean, they're AEW wrestlers, right? That's my understanding. Yeah. So how? Yeah. I don't know. That was dumb.
That's why you should never give Kenny the mic.
I understood it a little bit because he was like, he was just trying to get the AAA fans to hate him so that they would watch a show to see. They like, this isn't that good.
Just don't give him the mic.
Give it to Matt or Nick. Matt's better on the mic than the rest.
How about we talk about the best match of the night?
That wasn't the best match. You took a nap. You went to bed.
But that's because it was 1 o'clock on Eastern Standard Time.
Did you cry? Did he cry? I want to know the truth. Did he cry?
The next morning, I watched it.
Who cried?
Did your dad cry?
Wagner? My dad was sleeping.
Did he cry the next day when he found out that his guy retired?
He doesn't know he was sleeping.
Yeah. When he found out that Wagner retired, did he crack a tear?
I was actually, when I found out about it, I was actually happy for the guy.
Uh-huh.
Because I didn't want him to
die in the ring.
Die in the ring like many other guys have.
Like his brother.
So I feel like he picked his opponent that he wanted to lose to retire him.
Mm-hmm.
And he still got super bloody and he still did his thing. And it makes me understand that that's why he came to MLW with his son.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was a going away thing for him. Because he hasn't been to the U.S. since WCW days.
He's going
to
be there next weekend. He's going to be in San Diego. This is my understanding. He has a few more commitments he has to hit. And I've been following that group that Lucha group out of San Diego where I bought the comics from. And he's on their card. Because I follow them. And right afterwards they said, oh my God, does that mean this match isn't happening? This match isn't happening. People that had tickets for the San Diego show. And they're all, don't worry. He's honoring his commitments. And he released the thing. Even though I'm retired, I have some farewell matches that I have to complete. So it's my daughter's baby shower weekend. In other words, I thought about driving up to San Diego. That car's loaded.
Road trip.
I did shit. Excuse to go to San Diego? Hell. Yeah.
Be like, this is where we're going after.
I don't know. That match, it was like a great old school type Lucha match because they used to be bigger and stronger then.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it.
It took a brick to end him.
Joey, I loved it. It was up there with me with Cody and Dustin. It felt that same way, that kind of like importance of two old. I know they're older and they're not as fast as the other young guys, but it had that like, this is important kind of emotion to it.
I liked it because it was different.
They were both busted open. I mean, it basically showed that Wagner needed a brick to take him out.
Mm-hmm. The passion, just a lot of passion from both guys.
The only problem I had with the match was when, in the entrance, why even have all the people stand, all their kids stand around there? If Blue Demon's only got one underneath him, I was like, this is uneven. Yeah. That doesn't make sense. But the match overall was, like, pretty good. I liked it.
Pretty good?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I liked how there was meaning in the cutting his hair off. It just wasn't.
Yeah, that was brutal. I've never actually seen a match where they cut the guy's hair right afterwards like that. He's all bloody and beaten, and they just sit there and shaved his head. I was like, fuck, that's messed up.
And they had to shave it all the way down. They didn't just leave it after they cut it.
Pretty wild. And he's holding the ponytail like a trophy.
He got scalped. And
I was hoping Blue Demon lost, because Blue Demon's like... I think he's next to lose, because his family is like... like, it's Hall of Fame stuff. It's original.
They're probably setting up a LA Park versus Blue Demon thing. That's what I think.
So you're saying he beats Pagano to do mask versus mask with Blue Demon?
Yep. Or even if he doesn't beat him, it's a good enough match to where they're going to end up fighting. I think so.
Yeah.
Couple thoughts I had on the whole thing, being you. The production... Outstanding. I felt like I was watching a WWE quality pay-per-view.
Mexico.
The big screens. We got hit with all the 80s hair rock. So, you know what I mean? They always like, there's like Bon Jovi and all good stuff. Just everything. The lighting, the stage, that big ramp was cool. The crowd was hot. The announcing was fun. I want to hear the English announcing, because I heard that the English announcers were really, really good. It was Stryker and somebody else, and they supposedly tore it up. That they did a good job of explaining Lucha. No, I mean, like a lot of the like dirt sheet guys were praising them, and that's rare. The dirt sheet guys never praise anyone. I was so impressed with the whole thing. I felt like I haven't felt like that since like a WrestleMania. Kind of thing. It had that magical, like, big event feel, and it was really cool. And for somebody, it's like, it kind of pisses me off that WWE doesn't use more Mexican wrestlers. It's like, dude, there's so much
talent. They shove them on 205 Live.
There's so much talent. Why aren't you like using these people? I mean, why isn't Andrade one of your main guys, man? It kind of pisses me off that they don't use them, because there's so much. And it doesn't matter if they can't speak English. It doesn't. You know, I don't care. I enjoy their, you know, the face. It's like when I watch the Japanese too. They don't speak English necessarily either. Yeah. It's the facial features. I mean, Yano. Shit, I don't know what Yano's saying. But I laugh my ass off.
You know? I mean, like just watching AAA on the weekly stuff, it's... I understand bits and pieces, but like, I don't need to. I'm there to watch the action. I don't need somebody to tell me what's happening in the ring. I can see that he's doing a drop toe hold, or, you know, Frankensteiner, or the guy's telling me it's danger, danger, danger. I can just watch it. Just watch it. If you don't understand it and it bothers you, then mute the TV and just watch the in-ring work.
It makes it more exciting, I think. Even if you don't understand it, I think it just brings excitement. Like,
yeah,
the Mexican commentators are always screaming. It's
like if you like soccer,
yeah,
with like Latin announcers, you'll like wrestling like that.
Yeah, it's just a lot of fun. I mean, I was really impressed. And you know, the last pay per view we kind of watched, it was okay. I thought it was okay. I liked moments of it.
Good.
But this one, like I said, it felt really like big. I felt like I was watching a WrestleMania. Okay.
That's what I like about other companies. They have their WrestleManias. This was their WrestleMania. New Japan's WrestleMania is Wrestle Kingdom. It's soon. They have their biggest shows, and they're usually amazing.
Yeah. And I guess my final thing is, people, there's other stuff. If WWE is annoying you like it did me, I've gotten so much happier. I just cold turkey stopped watching. Cold turkey. At first, it was weird, but I just discovered, you know what? There's a whole bunch of other stuff to watch. I'm having a lot more fun.
It's there's nothing wrong with trying different things. Like, get out of your comfort zone and see the world.
Yeah.
Because everything's different, and there's things that you haven't enjoyed or been able to see that you might enjoy. Like Andrew taking the leap to watch New Japan, and you know, he's, I think he likes it. Sometimes they, you know, you have like a lot of content and tournament is long. This is definitely a long tournament, but it's worth it. You have to love wrestling, but like AAA, they offer excitement and kind of like it's kind of feels like it's targeted towards like the younger generation and things like that. And I like that. It's a new style. You know, the old people, they're not necessarily flocking to it yet, but they're not ready for
Very
change.
colorful,
Yes. Old.
very ex lots of action, lots of color. The masks are cool, the clowns are trippy, you know, all just, yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, the female fighters,
WWE
the
doesn't do
intergender
that.
stuff is done very well. Just, yeah, a lot of everything.
WWE doesn't do that. They have the strong style and Lucha Libre type wrestlers in 205 Live. If you experience it, they have different wrestling set. British strong style, Japanese strong style. Watch AAA, you get the Lucha Libre. It's different. It's better.
And the American wrestlers that go to Japan and go to Mexico respect the product that they're there for. They don't big
Right.
time it. You know what I mean? Cody didn't walk in there and act like, well, I'm Cody Rhodes from AEW and WWE. He just blended in, enjoyed himself, put on a good match, you know, did his thing, put over other people. It was a lot of fun. It was a real melting pot of different kinds of styles and people from all over the world. Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Step out your comfort zone and try something different.
It's a good weekend to try it too, because it's SummerSlam weekend, a lot of the small companies try to piggyback off of that, and Fight is full of all kinds of pay-per-views. And some of them are as cheap as $9. $7.99, $9. Look at the card. See if you recognize somebody that you saw on an Impact show, you saw on a AAA show, you saw on a MLW show, or you know, Jin Japan or somewhere, and you're like, "Hey, I know those three guys, and I know that girl. Maybe for $7, I'll check this one out." You know, you might be surprised. You might see something a lot really fun. You might see something that's kind of eh, but it's one of those. It's fun to try. All right. Well, I think that's it for the wrestling. Other than, like I said, there's a lot to watch tonight. I'm probably going to try to stay up and watch that G1 Climax because we're at the end now. So whatever happens tonight is going to mean stuff. Not as exciting as Sundays because tonight's, it's basically, like you said, it's Ibushi and Okada. That's the main match. But I'm still curious. I want to see what Ospreay does. You know, never disappointed in an Ospreay match. Good stuff. And then Sunday, we'll definitely be watching G1 again. And yes, I do love it, Fred. It's a lot. Next year, I'll be more
It is.
prepared for this G1. I had no clue how
Right.
much it
Well,
was. It's a lot.
at least the next tournament, it's only like 3 days long, so.
Only three. Yeah.
But
So.
yeah, yeah, I'm glad that we were able to record this today. I'm all the way in beautiful Indianapolis, Colts Nation.
You're really putting the Colts over now. What are you, jumping off the Detroit Lion bandwagon?
That's the only way I can eat at my buddy's house.
Oh, okay, I understand.
Yeah. I even got a Pacers hat.
Oh,
I'm
my
just trying to
Lord.
live over here.
Guys got to
But,
take all that gear off before you get home, though.
yeah.
Right.
Well, after we're done with here, we're going to pack up all our stuff because we leave tomorrow morning. So we
Oh,
should be back
my.
home around 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Wow. Fun. Fun, fun,
Yeah.
fun.
Joy to the world.
Joy to the world. Lots of sleeping. Keep your dad up. All right.
Okay.
Let's give our handles. You can find me at Real Comics. I'll probably be tweeting about wrestling a lot this weekend. Maybe a little bit of comics, but a lot of wrestling. Fred, where can they find you?
You'll find me at Comics Fred. Podcast is at Indie Alley. Is that everything?
That's it. Street Level Floppy.
Yeah, Street Level Floppy page. I'm going to try to record something on Sunday with a couple of people. So it's another project that we have working on. So we'll see how this goes.
The Nerds of the Underground.
Very cool. All right. Well, on that note, we'll call it a night. Peace.
Peace.